an awkward fact, excusably unknown to Paul, but presumably known to an omniscient God, and Jesus if you believe he was God, which fundamentally undermines the premise of the whole tortuously nasty theory. Oh, but of course, the story of Adam and Eve was only ever symbolic, wasn't it? Symbolic? So in order to impress himself, Jesus had himself tortured and executed in vicarious punishment for a symbolic sin committed by a non-existent individual. As I said, barking mad, as well as viciously unpleasant. Before leaving the Bible, I need to call attention to one particularly unpalatable aspect of its ethical teaching. Christians seldom realize that much of the moral consideration for others, which is apparently promoted by both the Old and New Testaments, was originally intended to apply only to a narrowly defined in-group. Love thy neighbor didn't mean what we now think it means. It meant only love another Jew. The point is devastatingly made by the American physician and evolutionary anthropologist John Hartung. He has written a remarkable paper on the evolution and biblical history of in-group morality, laying stress too on the flip side, out-group hostility.
Love thy neighbour. John Hartung's black humour is evident from the outset, where he tells of a Southern Baptist initiative to count the number of Alabamans in hell. As reported in the New York Times and Newsday, the final total, 1.86 million, was estimated using a secret weighting formula whereby Methodists are more likely to be saved than Roman Catholics, while virtually everyone not belonging to a church congregation was counted among the lost. The preternatural smugness of such people is reflected today in the various Rapture websites, where the author always takes it completely for granted that he will be among those who disappear into heaven when the end times come. Here is a typical example from the author of Rapture Ready, one of the more odiously sanctimonious specimens of the genre.
If the rapture should take place, resulting in my absence, it will become necessary for tribulation saints to mirror or financially support this site.
Hartung's interpretation of the Bible suggests that it offers no grounds for such smug complacency among Christians. Jesus limited his in-group of the saved strictly to Jews, in which respect he was following the Old Testament tradition, which was all he knew. Hartung clearly shows that thou shalt not kill was never intended to mean what we now think it means. It meant, very specifically, thou shalt not kill Jews, and all those commandments that make reference to thy neighbour are equally exclusive. Neighbour means fellow Jew. Moses Maimonides, the highly respected 12th century rabbi and physician, expounds the full meaning of thou shalt not kill as follows.
If one slays a single Israelite, he transgresses a negative commandment, for Scripture says, thou shalt not murder. If one murders willfully in the presence of witnesses, he is put to death by the sword. Needless to say, one is not put to death if he kills a heathen.
Needless to say. Hartung quotes the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court headed by the high priest, in similar vein, as exonerating a man who hypothetically killed an Israelite by mistake while intending to kill an animal or a heathen. This teasing little moral conundrum raises a nice point. What if he were to throw a stone into a group of 9 heathens and 1 Israelite and have the misfortune to kill the Israelite? Difficult. But the answer is ready.
Then his non-liability can be inferred from the fact that the majority were heathens. Hartung uses many of the same biblical quotations as I have used in this chapter about the conquest of the Promised Land by Moses, Joshua, and the Judges. I was careful to concede that religious people don't think in a biblical way anymore. For me, this demonstrated that our morals, whether we are religious or not, come from another source, and that other source, whatever it is available to all of us, regardless of religion or lack of it. But Hartung tells of a horrifying study by the Israeli psychologist George Tamarin. Tamarin presented to more than 1,000 Israeli schoolchildren aged between 8 and 14 the account of the Battle of Jericho in the book of Joshua.
Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. But all silver and gold, and vessels of bronze and iron, are sacred to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. Then they utterly destroyed all in the city, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and asses, with the edge of the sword.